Well, good morning, 12th Street. Let's stand together this morning. We're going to open with Victory in Jesus.
Street. You may be seated. It is great to be here with you this morning and to know that we have victory in Jesus, right? And anytime you start to think that maybe you don't have victory, maybe you can just sing that song to yourself, because we have victory not in ourselves, but victory in Jesus. Well, it's great to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And if you would, if you'll take your bulletins, and we've got a few announcements to go through. First of all, one that's not in the bulletin, but I want to point out, we have a business meeting immediately following the morning service. We are going to take a 3-minute break in between the service and when we start the business meeting. You say, why is it important for me to stay for a business meeting? Let me tell you why it's important for you. We're going to discuss some things about some finances, and you may be wondering, where are we at with getting to a point where we can look for an assistant pastor, and where are we with those things? And the truth is, we're nowhere near looking for an assistant pastor. Financially, we haven't been bringing in the amount that we need to bring in to pay for one. And so, let me tell you that. Let me challenge you with this. If you're not tithing, then get on that program, because it's good for you as well as taking care of the needs that we have here at the church. And so we do have in our account, if you look, we have $36,000 in that assistant pastor's fund. And that's great. But we're not looking at it as how much we have in the fund. We're looking at it as we need to take care of them every month, be bringing in enough to be able to take care of a commitment. And we're not going to make a one-year commitment to an assistant. We're going to make a commitment that'll last as long as God keeps them to our ministry. And so you want to hear about what's going on and what plans are for those types of things, come to the business meeting today, and you will be informed of those. There is an activity that's taking place for adults and their families, and it's they're going to the Dessen House dinner and Shipshawana Christmas Parade light show on November 12th. The bus will leave the church at 2 p.m. They'll have dinner, and the cost is $14.95 per person. Children 10 and under are $1.25 times their age. So you do that math. And then there's going to be a bus to Shipshawana for the Christmas parade. And so if you'd like to be part of that, sign up at the Welcome Center. And it's every year. It's everybody that goes has a wonderful time. So that's November 12th. And make sure that if you can, you go to that. Our trunk or treat activity is this coming Friday, October 28th, from 6 to 8:30 p.m. So if you don't have plans already for this coming Friday, or even if you do, change your plans, all right? Because this is an opportunity. We have literally hundreds, all right? Not just, a couple hundred. I think last year we were probably closer to 500 than 400 with the amount of people that came through for the trunk or treat. So here's what we want you to do. Bring your car, open up your trunk, or just bring a chair and sit at the back of your car and hand out candy to kids. And bring several bags of candy, and you'll be part of that night, an opportunity for us to introduce people to our church. Then they come inside, and there's a lot of fun things planned inside. And it's a great night. And so I want to encourage you, be part of what we're doing from 6 to 8:30 on Friday night. We have, this is the time of year that we start thinking about and putting together the Christmas shoe boxes, and so we have a short video here to just inform you about those.
My name is Teddy and I'm 7 years old. I live in Arandas. Arandas is in Namibia. My favorite things to do is sing and play and read. I live with my aunt, sister, little brother, big sister, and big sister. My grandmother, she teach me how to read a Bible all by myself and told me how to play Close Your Eyes and Talk to God. When she passed away, I feel very sad. My grandmother was very kind and like just like an angel. We used to play, sing, and read every day. The Bible I used before was my grandmother. My grandmother's Bible used to make me happy. That's why I pray for my own Bible to have. I was alone in my room. I sit on my knees and I talk to God. God, I need a Bible. A week later, God sent for me a gift.
Jesus loves you, my friend. Jesus loves you.
The shoebox I got was very special. I feel like Jesus was giving it to me. I was very excited, but I was shy. Getting a gift was very new for me.
One, two, three.
Opening the box, I defend toys, cars, and the Bible. When I saw God answer my prayer and I see it, I ran home excited. I couldn't wait to play and read and pray. God answered my prayer and I felt so happy. The person who packs my bag, I like to say thank you, and I like to say my God bless you.
Right, and we are beginning to pack those boxes again. And in every one of those boxes, the Samaritan's Purse places a Bible in the language of the people group that they're taking those boxes to. And so let's pack up those boxes. Last year, I think we did 150 boxes. All right, let's at least do 150. I think we can do a lot more. And so that begins. You can start, go to the Welcome Center. There's information there about that. All right, let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that you are the God of all creation. There is nothing that has ever been on this earth that you were not responsible for the beginning of it, because you are creator of all. And by you, all things consist. Lord, I thank you that you didn't just make this planet, make this world, set it spinning, and then step back and say, let's see where they go. I thank you that you are a God that holds everything together by your mighty power. And Lord, I thank you that today, as we sit in the middle of an election season, that we can just look to you and say, I know my God is in control. I know that no matter what happens, neither height nor depth, nor principalities, nor powers, nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ our Lord. And so, Lord, this morning we look to you and we say thank you. Thank you that every one of the things that we will deal with this week, that you are God who is in control, and that we have victory in Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray that our time here this morning will be special. I pray that it'll mean something in each one, in one of our lives. And as we look this morning, Lord, about praying your will and understanding your will in prayer, that you will teach us, that you will guide us, and that we will be excited when we leave this place this morning, knowing that my God answers our prayers. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us.
All right, as you're making your way back to your seats this morning, remain standing as we sing Your Grace Is Enough. Thank you.
trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great is our God. Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice. You became nothing, poured out to death. Many times I've wondered at your gift of life, and I'm in that place once again. Yes, I'm in that place once again. And once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life. Now you exalted to the highest place, King of the heavens, where one day I'll bow. But for now, I marvel at your saving grace, and I'm full of praise once again. Yes, I'm full of praise once again. And once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life. Thank you for the cross. The cross. And once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life.
When the ushers come forward.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for being an awesome God. Thank you for being a God that has accepted me. And even with all my failures, Lord, you still were willing to give up your son for me, Lord. And I just pray that you would take today's offering, that you would just use it to build up this church, build up your kingdom, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Why? It was so hot. We went to the pool, but it was more like a sauna.
Okay, I'm here. Sorry I'm late.
Oh, man.
Oh.
So hot.
Yeah.
It's kind of hot.
Like, so 3 months with no rain is a drought, right?
That's what I'm talking about.
What are we doing out here?
I thought we should all come together and pray for rain.
Oh, well, that's a good idea.
Can't hurt, can it?
So get on with it, man.
All right, let's join hands. Prayer is supposed to work better that way. Not you.
Oh.
No, I've got air conditioning here.
Sweaty?
Okay. Dear God.
Dear Lord.
Hot.
Lord.
Would you please bring us some rain?
Yes.
Oh, and something cold to drink.
Oh, like water?
Oh, yes, like please. Noah.
Yes.
Because it's so hot.
Yeah. Water, please.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, I think that went well.
Ugh. Amen. Whoa. I put on a perfectly good shirt for a 10-second prayer?
Yeah, thanks for coming. See you, Bible study, Drew.
I'm out of here.
What? Hey, and what are you doing?
I'm looking for the rain.
Laura, look up in the sky. What do you see? Blue sky everywhere. No clouds in the sky. I think that means it's not going to rain. We just prayed about this.
I know we just prayed about it, and that is why I know the clouds are going to come in and the rain's going to fall, and you are going to get wet.
You're new to this praying stuff, aren't you?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Let me explain it how it works. If I were you, I wouldn't be counting on that rain.
Oh, well, maybe it's not the rain that you should be counting on.
Well, at this time, we'll dismiss the children to Children's Church. And take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. The drama that we just had, it illustrates how most people pray. We randomly toss out a request, and then when finished, act as if nothing happens. We think that our duty in prayer is over once we ask. But our asking needs to be linked to something demonstrating our faith, like praying for rain and pulling out the umbrella. Right? And I found it funny when Paul said, you must be new to this prayer thing. That's why we're praying. You know, and how many times is that how we approach God with prayer? What happens is we finish our prayer and we wonder, was it even God's will for me to ask for rain? How do we know if we're following his will when we pray? When we pray, can we be confident that he will do what we ask? Well, we can know about God's will by what his word says, right? So here's Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. It says this, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." How do we prove God's will? Well, first of all, it tells us that we cannot be conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world. So don't give in to the ways of the world. There is a way that the world lives, and there is a way that Christ would have us live. Don't be conformed to the world's ways. Don't align yourself with the world's philosophies. See, let me tell you one of the philosophies of the world. It's that God is just an idea. And that God is just something that when you talk to him or pray to him, that he's just there to be like a comfort. Kind of like when you were little and you had your blankie. Did anybody have a blankie growing up? I had a blankie. It had the little silk edges, all right? And I would sit there and I would hold my blankie and I would play with the little silk edges and I would suck my thumb. And I did that until it was the day before I went to school. My mom said, I'm not letting you go to school unless you stop that. And so I quit sucking my thumb and put the blankie away at that point. All right, but sometimes we treat God like that blankie. Where our prayers are just meant to be comfort. That's the world's philosophy. Don't be conformed to this world. But here's what it says. Be transformed. How are we transformed? Renewing your mind. God's ways need to become the governing force of our thinking. That's how we're transformed. We're conformed to the world when we act and think like the world. We're transformed when God's ways are the governing force. How am I going to know God's ways? I've got to read his word. See, being a Christian and being a faithful Christian, it's not easy. It's hard work. And so we have to know his ways because then his ways become the governing force behind our thinking. And then it tells us that we prove. Here's what it means to prove. To discern, to examine what is good, what is acceptable, and what is perfect. And it tells us there that when we do this, then we have an understanding or we have an application of the will of God. Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Here's how God's word, and here's how God's will starts to act itself out in our life. It's when wisdom is revealed to us. When wisdom, it shows us God's will. So turn over with me to James chapter 1. Because I want to prove God's will in my life. Don't you want to prove his will? I mean, there's very few times that God says, you know, test me, and he gives us a specific thing. I think one of the things that we can prove God in is his will. Another thing we can prove God in is giving. I can prove God. I can say, God, I'm going to give 10% of my income to you. That's called tithe. And I'm going to see what you can do. Here's what I found in my life. 100 times out of 100, God takes my 90% that I keep, and he stretches it further than I could have ever stretched my 100%. Okay? Prove God. You'll find that to be true. Well, here, prove God with wisdom. Prove God in saying, God, I want to know what you want me to do, and I want to know how to act out what you want me to do. Here in James chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally. That word liberally, it means in abundance. Okay, that's a really important word there. God doesn't just say, I give it to you. He gives it to us in abundance. And upbraideth. Okay, the word upbraideth, it means to chastise or chew out. Okay? And then the word not. God does not chew you out for saying, God, I want wisdom. God is never going to say, shame on you for asking me for wisdom. No, when you ask for wisdom, God is never going to do that. He's going to give it to you in abundance. And then verse 6. Oh, the end of verse 5. And it shall be given him. All right, ask. He gives it liberally in abundance. He doesn't chew you out for it. And he gives it to you. Okay? Verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So, number one here, it says, we don't ask for knowledge, we ask for wisdom. All right? Now, This isn't nitpicking words. This is understanding what this passage is telling. We don't ask for knowledge. We ask for wisdom. Knowledge is obtained through instruction and searching. Here's the cold, hard truth. You have to work to get knowledge. And as you work to get knowledge, here's something you need to understand. God's will is not discovered through knowledge alone. In fact, the scriptures tell us knowledge puffs up. God's will is not discerned through just obtaining knowledge. The only time that I could find in scripture, and I went through every use of the Greek words and Hebrew words for knowledge and for wisdom, and I tried to find any time that God just gave somebody knowledge, or that anybody just said, just give me knowledge all by itself. And the only time that I found God giving anybody knowledge, it wasn't by itself. The only time that knowledge was just given by God, it was accompanied by wisdom. And that was King Solomon. All right? David had a son. King David had a son. His name was Solomon. And God gave Solomon the opportunity to ask for anything he wanted. And in 2 Chronicles 1:10, it says this. Solomon says, give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this your people that is so great? And God said to Solomon, because this was in your heart, that you have not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of your enemies, neither have you asked for long life, but you have asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto you, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had before you, neither shall there be any after you that have the like. So God says, I'll give you knowledge because you're asking for it, and wisdom because Solomon asked for two of them together. So, the knowledge that God gave Solomon there was a supernatural gift. Don't expect for you to say, God, I want you to just give me knowledge. That's not a pattern that happens in Scripture, okay? This was a one-time thing. And now, as God gave him knowledge and wisdom, wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge. Let me give you an example. Knowledge is learning that the hike up the mountain will be 12 miles long. That's knowledge, okay? Knowledge is procuring a map of the terrain so that you know what it will be like. That's knowledge. Wisdom is taking that information and determining how much water you need to bring with you, what kind of footwear you will use, whether you're going to need a walking cane or ropes to get up the mountain. Wisdom has the ability to read the map and determine the way to go. Do you see the difference between knowledge and wisdom? Knowledge is just the facts that are out there. Wisdom is how to apply these to our life and move in the steps and the direction that we should. When we ask for wisdom, we are asking for the ability to take our knowledge and put it to use. So, two Sundays ago, it was Sunday night, Jenna had just gotten home from youth group. And she goes, Dad, I can't find my volleyball jersey anywhere. And so we talked about the knowledge. Where was the last time that you had it? It was at homecoming. I was on the homecoming float. Okay, well, maybe we can call the people that you know, own the trailer that the float was. No, but Dad, then I took it, and it was under the bleachers. Okay, this is all just knowledge. This is what she knows. Okay, well, let's drive to the school and see if we can find it. So we jump into the car. We start driving to the school. Now, when we're in the car, we ask for wisdom. We say, Lord, we know where we think her volleyball jersey was last. We just pray that you would help us find it. Give us the wisdom to go to the right places and search the right way. So we get there. all the gates are locked. You know, isn't that the way things work? The football field is locked. It's like it's Fort Knox. And so we drive around to the side, and we find a gate that's cracked open just a little bit. Okay? Now, I don't believe in coincidences, all right? So if you're sitting here going, oh, what a coincidence. No. You see, we had asked God for wisdom. We had the knowledge to go to the field. We had no idea how we were going to get in or exactly where we were going to look. Wisdom, God goes, look, a cracked gate. Go through the gate. See, some people, they have knowledge in life, and what happens is God cracks open gates. And God's opening, he's cracking open all these gates. And they go, wow, look at that gate that's cracked open. Oh, I just don't know what to do. What do you mean you don't know what to do? You know why you don't know what to do? Because you don't have any wisdom. Wisdom is going, go through the gate. Go through the gate. And you're going, oh. Jenna said, Dad, what if we get arrested? Because there was a sign right there that said, no trespassing. I said, we're not trespassing. We're looking for your thing that belongs to you. So we go into the gate. Following the wisdom of God. And we look under the bleachers, and somebody had done a very thorough cleaning job. And every trash can we had gone by had already been emptied, because homecoming was Friday night. We're there Sunday night. And on Saturday, somebody had emptied them. And so I look over, and there just so happens to be one trash can that's not empty. Now, knowledge is, look, there's a trash can. Wisdom says, go dig in the trash can. Right? So I go over there, and there's nacho cheese all over everything, and pizza. So there's this box, a Samuel Mancino's pizza box, right on top. And I lift it up, and I see something that's light blue. The bag that her jersey in was light blue. And so I start digging, and I pull on the string, and there's her jersey. Okay? Now, does God care about these little things in our lives? Absolutely. Absolutely. It's not just about having knowledge. Yeah, we probably could go look under those bleachers. That'd probably be a good idea. Wisdom says, get in the car and go do it. We get in the car and we're holding this nasty smelling bag with her jersey in it, and we're praising God because God gave us the ability to find it. How many times does God give us, we have the knowledge because we hear, we read, we understand things about God, but how often do we have the wisdom to say, I'm going to put that knowledge to work? Here's the thing about God. God gives wisdom in abundance. He gives wisdom in abundance. I would dare say this. God probably gives us enough wisdom so that we never have to doubt. Because if we're asking for it, God's giving it. And never once does he look at us and go, oh my goodness, I can't believe you're asking for wisdom for that. He's going, all right, you asked. Here it is. Thirdly, God doesn't chew us out, lash out at us, or put us down for asking for wisdom. I mean, that's so important. Get that. Fourth, he will give us wisdom. It states it twice in that verse. Did you see that? Twice he says it. One time he says in abundance, and the other time it just says he'll give it to us. So what does that tell you? He'll give it to you. But something needs to happen while we do this. We need to ask in faith, because it says if we waver, we're like a wave tossed by the wind. And if we waver, then we've got issues with our asking. Because asking needs to be done in faith. When we waver, the word waver, it says no wavering there. When we waver, that word means to separate from, to doubt, to move away from. And here's oftentimes how we go to God and we ask, just like that drama. Oh, God, help it to rain. It's so hot. And then everybody just goes. Not expecting God to do anything. You pray without expecting God to act. You are wavering in your prayer. That is not a prayer of faith. Those who doubt will not receive the wisdom they need from the Lord. And so you say, God, I need wisdom. I need to know how to handle this situation in my life. And when you pray that, you doubt and you don't have faith, and you're thinking, eh, God's not really going to answer this anyway. God probably doesn't even care about this. You're not going to get the answer, and then you're going to blame it on God. But you're not going to get that answer because God doesn't honor that kind of prayer. To ask and doubt is to be unstable, inconsistent. When we ask and doubt simultaneously, we are mocking God with our prayer. That's the worst form of inconsistency. To ask and doubt corrupts every path to wisdom. All your ways. Look at verse 8 again in James 1. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Because if I don't know how to apply the knowledge I have, I will be unstable. I won't know how to get where God wants me to go. I'll see the cracked gate, and I'll say, boy, what a coincidence that that gate is cracked. Too bad I can't go in there. Let's go back to our drama again. Only one person exercised faith in that drama. The person who opened the umbrella, right? They had wisdom. They prayed for rain, so they needed an umbrella because they were going to get wet. This is a great illustration that when we pray for wisdom, we should be at least willing to put that ability to apply our knowledge to work. When we ask God, give me wisdom about X, we can expect that we're going to have to do something about what we're asking. In Proverbs 4 and verse 7, it says this, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. In Ecclesiastes 8:1, it says, who is the wise man, and who knows the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom makes his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. See, here's what wisdom does. It helps us to interpret life. And when we're able to interpret life the way that God wants us to, it causes our face to shine. We stand out. We're able to accomplish the good that God wants. Praying to know God's will to be done and praying for wisdom always present themselves the exact same way. We must have faith when we pray, seeking God's wisdom. So my question to you this morning is, do you have faith? Rachel and I had been married for 4 months. We were running a youth activity in Wisconsin. And a farmer allowed us to use his barn. And what we did is I didn't do it, the farmer did it. He stacked all the hay bales into a maze. And it was dark, and the kids had to crawl through this hay maze, okay? It was really fun. There was a spot, though, where there was a big drop-off. And so I stood there at the drop-off because we didn't want a kid crawling and all of a sudden to face plant, you know, 3 feet down into another hay bale. So I stood there and helped make sure that the kids made it safely down that drop-off. Great fun with the activity, got done with the activity. And, by the way, activities, last night was a great activity. Everybody who helped with that, stand up. Everybody who helped with that, you look a lot better today than you did last night, by the way. But thank you very much. Last night, we had 2 young ladies tell me that they trusted Christ as their Savior, and 1 young man responded to trusting Christ. So praise God, because he's a great God, isn't he? So we're doing this activity, and we get done, and my wedding ring is gone, literally lost in the hay. So the very next day, we go out, we find a place that's open on Sunday, and I rent a metal detector. And so after church, we go over to the barn, and that night, the farmer had already restacked all of his hay. And so literally, we're looking for a needle in a haystack. So we take the metal detector, and I knew about where I had lost my ring, the general area, so I pull out the metal detector, and we were picking up every nail in the barn. The thing was worthless. And so we just stopped and we prayed. We said, God, we know that you can help us find this. We know about the general area where it's lost. God, direct our hands so that we feel in the right places. Direct our eyes so that we see. And we're digging around, and it was, I can't remember exactly, but I'm pretty sure it was Rachel that she's reaching down. She reaches about that far down into a hay bale, and guess what she feels? The ring. And she pulls it out. And you go, wow, what a coincidence. No. You see, when you know, when you had knowledge, we knew where to look. We didn't have the wisdom to know exactly how. I mean, we tried, we thought we did. We got a metal detector. Yeah, a lot of good that does in a barn full of nails. But you know what? God, when we asked for wisdom, God gave the wisdom to know which hay bale, after they had been restacked, to reach into. And I don't think we were there for more than 10, 15 minutes before we found that ring. This is God. Now, we honestly did believe that we were going to find the ring. Otherwise, we wouldn't have rented the metal detector. We wouldn't have spent the time looking. And we were willing to be there all day, if needs be. Because if you do these things without faith, it's nothing. I remember the first time that Rachel came to me with an address, 1611 Cherry Street in Niles, Michigan. And I'm like, okay, what's so special about that address? She said, I think we need to buy that house. I'm like, we already got a house. She said, no, to flip. Now, we'd been praying about God, help us to learn about the things that we need. And we were basically, what we were doing was we were obtaining knowledge about it, obtaining knowledge. And she had studied all the real estate in Niles, Michigan, and she knew what everything. I mean, the knowledge was there. And so we had started praying, all right, God, if you want us to do this, help us to find the right one. Bring the right one to us. And she thought, 1611, how can you go wrong with that address, right? And so, I said that, but you know. So, I went and we looked at the house, and we put an offer, and we bought the house. We had never flipped a house before. And that was, Leah was 2 years old. We put a hammer in her hand, and she became the demo crew. And we went in, we demoed the house, we flipped the house. And we had some specific things that we asked God that if we were able to make money with it, that we could do with the money. And you know what? It was like too easy. It's not always easy. We've had hard times with it. But when you ask in faith, God gives wisdom. And the whole way through, every decision that we had to make, what to do with this wall, what color paint to put on this, you know, which wiring to replace. You know what? God provided the wisdom. We never once had to stop and go, boy, I don't know if we should do this. No, every step of the way, we were able to act because we knew that we were asking God and we were believing God. And so when he opened the door, we didn't worry about, oh, should we really walk through this door? We knew that that was what we should do. We, with prayer, wisdom, research, and understanding, the prayer for wisdom could happen because we could apply the knowledge that we had. You know what? God started to provide other opportunities. 1542 Clarendon. I can't remember the address on Rebecca Lane. We had a property off of M51 in Dowagiac. It was just like, in every single time, God provided the wisdom. If you don't ask, you don't get. But if you ask for wisdom, God will give it to you in abundance. He won't chew you out. He will give it to you. Just don't doubt him in the process. Now we have some of you are going through some really hard things in your lives right now. There's several of you that are struggling with cancer diagnosis or health problems. There are some with job issues. Some family life is just incredibly hard to bear. And you pray and you talk to God. I want to encourage you to pray in faith. Not wavering. There's a difference between believing God can and God will. Be the person that's opening the umbrella when you pray for rain. And you know what, God, when you have faith and you ask for wisdom, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to do this? God will give you the wisdom. He's an awesome God. He's a God who loves us. But don't be conformed to this world. Prove the will of God. Prove it by asking. Let's pray together. Lord God, as we close out this time, I know that in this room right now, there are probably 150 different, very specific and needful things that need to be taken care of. And I know, God, that you are bigger than each and every one of those circumstances. And Lord, if we would just have enough humility this morning to ask you for wisdom and how we should take each step. And if we believe that you care enough about us to help us, I know, Lord, that you can transform the situations that we're in. And so, Lord, I pray that as we have a couple seconds of quietness right now, that as requests are made, they would be made with faith. And, Lord, that you would be answering with wisdom. And, Lord, if there's anybody here that doesn't have any understanding, there's no way to apply knowledge of God and knowledge of God's will because they don't know God personally. Lord, right now you want to save their soul. Right now, Lord, you would love to help them to understand what it is to have the knowledge that God is in their life. And the only way to obtain that knowledge is to submit their life to the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross for their sin. I thank you, Lord, we could sing about that this morning. And I pray that you would truly show anyone here that does not have salvation, that has never trusted in Jesus Christ, that Lord, this morning, right now, they would call out to Jesus and say, Lord, I need you in my life. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. I trust you now, Lord. Please save me. And Lord, if they ask, they will receive. You never turn that request down. So Lord, I just pray that as we close out this time, that our hearts would be just like the choir saying, Lord, you're holy, and we lift you up. And so let this closing song be a form of us lifting you up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus, I'm going to be standing at the front. I would love to talk to you about trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let's stand together as we sing this closing song.
My rock.
3-minute break, and even if you're not a member but you want to see how we do business, maybe that'll make you want to join. All right, so we're going to meet back in 3 minutes after I say amen. Make sure that you pick up a financial report from Ray in the back or from Cole. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you this morning that you are such a great God. We've sang about how great you are. We've sang about our need for you. We've sang about how you've died for us and how you have risen from the grave, and Lord, you have given us every opportunity to be the kind of person you want us to be. Now, Lord, help us to take our initiative and say, Lord, help me. I need you. Give me wisdom. And Lord, you will shower that wisdom upon us. Thank you for that awesome promise. Bless us now, Lord, as we go from here to do your work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you. Have a wonderful week for him.